we know that scientists know now that red light therapy actually stimulates and regulates production of the melatonin. And melatonin being as a main conductor for the circadian rhythm.
You're listening to the High Performance Health Podcast, helping you optimize your health, performance, and longevity. My name is Angela Foster, and I'm a former corporate lawyer turned high performance health coach. Each week, I bring you cutting edge biohacks, inspiring insights, and high performance habits to unlock optimal health, performance, and longevity. So excited that you've chosen to join me today. Now let's dive in. Hi friends, in this week's episode you're going to hear all about the benefits of near-infrared light therapy. It has so many applications in terms of improving mitochondrial health, the energy powerhouses of our cells, enhancing exercise performance, recovery after workouts, increasing time to failure, and improvements in circadian rhythm and deep sleep. My guests are the two co-founders of Recharge Health and creators of the device FlexBeam, which you may have seen me posting about on Instagram. It's a super easy device to use because you strap it on, which means you can use it while working, doing activities around the house, pre-stretching or pre-workout, or even meditating. In fact, since recording this episode, I've been loving using it on my torso to activate the vagus nerve while meditating with BrainTap. And the benefits of red light therapy are not just local, but also systemic throughout the body. And you'll hear all about this on today's episode. The near-infrared technology used by FlexBeam was originally developed by NASA, and in-house studies have shown it to deliver a 33% faster recovery after a muscle pull, 75% reduction in musculoskeletal pain, 40% improvement in strength performance, and a 30% improvement in deep sleep. So get ready for a really thorough understanding of red light therapy and how to use it to upgrade your sleep, exercise performance, and overall health. Without further delay, let me introduce you now to Dr. Zulia Frost, who is a leading clinician renowned worldwide for her use and research of neuromodulation, bioresonance, and photobiomodulation therapies, and Bjorn Ekberg, who is the co-founder and CEO of Recharge Health. So I'm very excited to be joined today by Dr. Zulia Frost and Bjorn Ekberg, who are experts in photobiomodulation and the benefits of near-infrared and red light therapy. Firstly, a very warm welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting us. We're delighted.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
I'm excited to have you both here. I think many of my listeners will be familiar with red light therapy and the benefits of it. But I think it's probably a good place to start just to kind of give an overview and refresh in people's minds, because I think there's often confusion about the difference between red light therapy, for example, and near infrared and how they affect our cells. Could we sort of start there and just introduce it as a concept?
I'm probably going to... Try to formulate it first. Of course, red and infrared light, they both are known as red light therapy. It's originally we find these wavelengths of light coming from the sun. So the scientists learn then how to harvest that energy for benefits of your health. And the sunlight has a visible spectrum, but also invisible. So invisible spectrum, we could see it as a red light, but the near infrared light is invisible, but you sense it's a little bit like warmth. So although it's natural, we now manage to harvest that light and put it into device. So you could have a little bit of sunlight in your personal devices. And by that, you can optimize your health.
Awesome. And my understanding from sort of reading the literature is it's really working on the health of our mitochondria, right? So it's a really good biohack, if you like, for enhancing energy production within the body. Can you explain a bit more about the mechanics of that and how it's working?
Yes. Just imagine a solar panel. Yes. Solar panel has absorbs photons of light which come from the sun. And these photons, they photo acceptors. So they absorb that light and convert into energy. In a very similar way, we have in the body, we have mitochondria, which lives in the organelles. It's an organelle living in the cell. And inside the mitochondria, we have the enzyme, which is photosensitive. And this enzyme captures the photons and stimulates production of the ATP, molecules of energy. And together with this, it's also increased the flow of electrons and protons. So it creates the mitochondrial membrane potential. So this is very important because potential It's a kind of reserves of energy of what you have in each cell. And so if you find the way how to directly stimulate mitochondria, you can then indirectly stimulate the energy processes in the whole of the body. And, you know, we're familiar that lots of the time you have the lots of mitochondria in the organs like brain, like muscles, like heart, because it requires lots of energy. And so when you have functioning mitochondria, your body can possess more energy and actually act more efficiently all the processes.
And does it help with, like, is it improving the quality and the energy production of the mitochondria that are there, or is it also helping to stimulate new mitochondria?
It does both. Light is known to stimulate new mitochondria, but of course it doesn't happen over immediately. But if you use photobiomodulation devices on a regular basis, you certainly look in biogenesis of mitochondria, as well as production of energy. I should also mention that there is a sort of bypass mechanism happening, is because at the cellular level, we bind a lot more of the oxygen. The nitric oxide is released, and nitric oxide is known as a very good vasodilator, which means if people have some problematic area in the body where the blood circulation isn't perfect, then if we use photobiomodulation devices, then we can optimize that area, increase blood flow, meaning we deliver more oxygen, more nutrients to the cells, and actually aiding to speed the recovery.
Amazing. We were just talking, weren't we, offline, that I was starting a new fitness challenge and excited to kind of utilize the FlexBeam alongside that to really kind of get some better results. I think from my perspective, this is also a really helpful tool, right, for women who, like myself, are in their 40s and going through a series of hormonal changes, certainly women as they get to sort of around 50 and menopausal age, where we see kind of less mitochondria. And it's one of the things that I think women complain the most about is that reduction in energy. And particularly if they're in high performing jobs, they've got families and the energy output is really high, it can feel quite hard. And I've noticed that when we look at some of the research around metabolism, for example, and weight gain that we see in perimenopausal women, that seems to be in part driven by the metabolic changes in things like, you know, increased insulin resistance and higher cortisol levels, but also as a function of reduced energy. And so what we see is that women are then moving less than they were. So this looks to be particularly apt for women who fall within that category in terms of helping with that energy production. Would you agree?
I totally agree. Well, majority of our users of the FlexBeam is actually women that particular age. And we see how much improvement they get from regular use. Because on one aspect, we already discussed about the energy generation at the cellular level. Another aspect is to say that when you start going through the change, hormonal change, there will be change in testosterone level, change into estrogen level, progesterone level. And these all hormones are actually intimately linked with the circadian rhythm. And circadian rhythm is a rhythm between sleep or waking state. So, most people just attribute to their, you melatonin as a hormone for sleep. But they forget about that every single hormone in the body released at a specific time. And when the energy process is skewed in the body, then the whole circadian rhythm becoming skewed. And there could be a situation when one hormone overlap with another, which shouldn't be there. And so this is hormonal dysregulation is also frequent outcome of the going through change. So again, we know that scientists know now that red light therapy actually stimulates and regulates production of the melatonin. And melatonin being as a main conductor for the circadian rhythm, this actually helps to regulate this. So in my recommendations, I recommend people to use it before they go to sleep to help to enable better sleep, better energy production in the body, but also to use it even, you know, before exercises as well. It just helps to regulate the body.
That's really interesting what you're saying there, because I do, you know, I see that particularly with the the women that I work with. They can be quite stressed and having hormonal changes. And when, for example, I look at something like the Dutch Plus test, where we do salivary cortisol measurements throughout the day, and we look at if they're waking up at night, what that nighttime reading might be. Sometimes we'll see elevated cortisol during the night, and we know that there is that inverse relationship, right, between cortisol and melatonin, where if melatonin is high, cortisol is low, and if cortisol is high, melatonin is low. So what you're saying there is that by doing a red light therapy treatment prior to going to bed, that can actually help with melatonin production.
Absolutely. I even have done a case study to understand what would be the impact, because, you know, sometimes you think, oh my God, if I'm going to stimulate excessive amounts of melatonin, you know, it could be, yes, everything should be in a very reasonable amount. And so in this case study, we used the red light therapy device on daily basis, Monday to Friday for 4 weeks. And we took sample of salivatory melatonin before and exactly after 5 weeks. And what we've seen, the actual regulation. So it's not, so the person had a decreased amount of melatonin at night, but too much melatonin in the morning. That's why he couldn't wake up and had spent day feeling really sluggish and incapable of working. So by week five, there was complete regulation. So the melatonin level improved and the person was able to sleep, perform daily task, energetic. And this is really, for some people, is very, very important. It's crucial to get the health back.
100%. I mean, that's really interesting. And it sounds like from what you were saying there, unless I've got this wrong, is that you won't end up in a situation like, obviously when people take melatonin, they can take pretty hefty doses and then they wake up quite groggy in the morning. It sounds from what you're saying is that the body will regulate the amount of melatonin production a little bit like you could overdose on a vitamin D supplement, but you can't really go and overdose on vitamin D from the sun because the body has its own natural sort of mechanisms for regulating. Is that the same then with melatonin and red light therapy?
Exactly. And we have seen it in actually proof is in the pudding, so to speak.
Interesting. So I mean, this is going to really help with sleep. I wanted to sort of maybe circle back on how you might utilize it. In a bit more detail in a moment, one of the things we spoke about, and it was a question that I've been asked by some of the people that follow my content, is when you're using a device like FlexBeam and you are having some sort of a localized area, right, that's being treated, my understanding is there are systemic benefits. Can you clarify that for people? So if they're treating one area, what they can expect in terms of the systemic benefits as well?
There was a study by Kira Samoilova, which was very interesting because they put photobiomodulation device on one hand and they registered the increased blood flow on the other hand. So this is already proving your systemic effect. Of course, light, the quantum aspect of light make us to believe there is a systemic effect. So that when energy is stimulated in one area, it's going to have impact on the body. However, if you talk about specific injury or specific issue somewhere in the body, it is a very good idea to focus around this area because typically this area is highly energy demanding because for the cells to repair this process, you need to, they basically consume lots of resources of your body. That's why when injury happens, the inflammatory stage is really, you know, quite aggressive, right? You see lots of blood flowing there. You see the high metabolic rates because it's all getting hot and swollen. And even pain receptors become activated. So you don't really want to move that area of injury. So this is natural physiological response. And so to support this natural process, you need to give energy to this particular area. And this energy in the form of photonic stimulation would actually aid natural process, and you go through this process a lot quicker. You're still going to have some systemic effect. But if you use a photobiomodulation device in this, I would say, specific areas like the spine or abdomen, that's where I see much more of systemic effect, because this is kind of the core of the body and huge neurological connection. And the stomach is the whole enteric system, which links to the brain. So that's where you're going to see systemic effect.
And when you think about that and putting it on the abdomen, on the abdominal area, have you seen any benefits in terms of things like fertility, for example, or ovarian aging? Because I know the ovaries, for example, are very rich in mitochondria.
Yes, yes. We have a huge number of women who use it specifically to combat the painful menstruation. And for that reason, we put it on the abdomen. Of course, we recommend them abdomen and sacrum irradiation, and they get the resolution of pain, because pain is normally because they are muscular cramps, you know, the stagnation of blood altogether. So for various conditions of women health is will be hugely beneficial for that.
Interesting.
With stomach, but I'd like to use both stomach and the spine, because they're linked through the nervous system and circulatory system.
So is what you're saying is it would be best to do a treatment on the stomach area, on the abdominal area, and then a treatment on your back or around on your spine, sort of top to bottom. Is there any risk to just doing one and not the other, or?
Yeah, I normally would say use it horizontally, so covering like a sacrum area from the back.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Area from the back. And almost like you create a sandwich, you beam light from both sides. And that's where you get the most benefit.
Okay. So you could either put two devices on, or you could do it once and then the other side.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. And what about in terms of the health of the gut? Is it helping there at all? Does it help to relieve any kind of gut-based symptoms that people struggle with, IBS, for example, or any kind of leaky gut or Crohn's or anything like that?
Absolutely. Again, lots of our users use it. And Bjorn helped me to remember, we did recently a survey, and in this survey, how many people were in percentage-wise used on the stomach, on the gut?
Yeah, we were quite surprised by this, positively surprised, but gut health was about 30% of respondents were using it for gut health issues. This is not something that we have marketed specifically, but it tells us something about A, the practical use of FlexBeam in this particular case, because it's targeted and you can get much more stimulation in the gut than you can from just a panel at a distance. And B, that this is actually a very hot topic right now. It's a trending topic and people are more concerned about gut health than ever before. We were expecting to see much lower numbers than that for gut health.
Yeah.
But it's a very popular application.
Yes. Also to add that, that... when you work with particularly digestive disorders, as a practitioner myself, I noticed the link. Very often, sometime in the past, these people would have some form of injury to the spine. So it could be like, say, disc hernia or some, you know, sacroiliitis, yeah, some problem with the spine itself, because the through innervation, it's all linked together, and nerve from the spine innervate the bowel, and the bowel becomes contracted. So, and then you have the problem propelling food through it. So this is all linked in the body. So if you use it on the spine and using on the abdomen, you get much better effect. And many people who use it this way, they'd say, okay, I treated my low back, but my irritable bowel is gone. Now I feel fantastic. So, you know, that's that could be a very good solution for people.
Perimenopause can be a time of significant disruption, not just to our hormones, but also to our sleep, anxiety, energy levels, and gut health. Add in a busy work schedule, workouts, and three kids, and I know that I need more nutrient support than I used to. While I do my best to get enough vitamins and minerals through whole food sources every day, there are times I can't quite get enough servings. And that's why I take AG1 every day. It covers my bases with high-quality ingredients like pre- and probiotics to support gut health, adaptogens to help buffer stress, antioxidants and whole food source nutrients to deliver that welcome boost in energy. One daily scoop of AG1 covers my nutrient gaps and supports my mental and physical health without a lot of hassle. I simply add one scoop to my water in the morning with the confidence to know I'm giving my body what it needs. Taking AG1 helps me to feel more energized, sleep better, and gives me glowing skin. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/Angela Foster. That's drinkag1.com/Angela Foster. When you were talking there around the circadian alignment, it struck me there was an interesting sleep study done back in 2017 looking at the circadian disruption and the impact on academic performance and also kind of connecting it with heart rate variability. And I was interviewing not long ago Kristen Holmes, who's the vice president of performance at Whoop. And she was talking about the improvements in heart rate variability she herself had seen and with athletes based on after the research, just by getting that sleep and wake time very, very consistent on a daily basis. And it struck me when you were speaking there, whether through sort of that indirect mechanism in part of improving melatonin production and maybe also creating and simulating that sunset experience, right? If people are getting better sleep and they have you seen improvements in heart rate variability?
We did one case study earlier in our development that was with Oura Ring, because Oura Ring collects the data, and our testing subject had data for a year, and that's where we've seen improvement in heart rate variability, but also improvement in the deep sleep itself, which will give you also massive health benefit. Generally speaking, I would assume that it should have impact anyway, physiologically, because when you improve the energy processes at the cellular level and stimulating also vagus nerve through the, for example, using over the center of the chest, using on the gut, you should be able to impact these parameters as well.
And it's safe to do that, is it? To rest it front here on the Absolutely. Heart and lungs and everything.
Absolutely. It's really, really nice. It's like holding a baby, because when you hold the baby, you hold it like this, you know, next to your heart. And lots and lots of our users, they love this. They use it for sleep, for relaxation. And it does indeed feels very, very calming and relaxing.
Yeah, I like that sort of warming experience. So I think what would be helpful, because I like to give kind of practical tips as much as people can kind of really take away and start using them, is for us to walk through a few scenarios with you both, Bjorn and Dr. Zulia, if that's okay, so that people can think about how they might integrate red light therapy into their daily lives. If we start with circadian alignment, what would be the best practice? And then we'll kind of come on to exercise and different modifications later. But if we're simply looking at someone who really wants to optimize their sleep, here in the UK, I'm not sure where you guys are, but it's very similar, right? In the Northern Hemisphere, particularly in Northern Europe, we go through these swings, right? We're about to come into summer or spring, and then summer, which is very nice, where we get lots of light. But we've come off at the back of winter, where in the UK, it's very restricted in sort of December time, and we only get about 8 hours of light. So people are often getting up in the dark, and then they're going to work in the dark, and they're coming home in the dark. How might one use red light therapy on a daily basis to optimize their circadian rhythm?
I'll start, but I would like Bjorn to also add this, because out of all the places, Bjorn is in Norway, where he actually physically experiencing this.
Some experience with this phenomenon, but please go ahead, Zulia.
Yes. Well, the light, we've already established the light is hugely, hugely important for natural well-being because, you know, we evolved under the light, sunlight. So this is, should be in your body should be exposed. And of course, people nowadays, they become more indoors, like you said at the very beginning, and not many, especially with age, women don't go out as often into nature. So we really need to replace that. We need to get that light in. I recommend to start using the photobiomodulation devices in the evening, okay? Because that's in this way you start stimulating production of melatonin. However, after probably the following week, they need to shift it to the morning at the time of where it's actually sunset or sunrise. So type of the day, not in the middle of the day. Okay, that's very important because you need to regulate the circadian rhythm. And the areas on the body best to target is the areas, what we discussed, right in the center of the body, but also at the below the navel, low abdomen and low sacrum. These areas are also very important because they link to vagus nerve. And the back of the neck is also super important. This is basically combined knowledge, medical knowledge, but also knowledge of acupuncture, because we know how the meridians travel in the body. So targeting this area seems getting people very good results. Four positions, if you're short for time, do at least two positions in the day, and that would be already helpful. One more thing I wanted just to mention. At the very beginning, I wasn't sure that light should be shown into the eyes because lots of people wanted to sit in front of red lights and stare at the light. And then I found a couple of studies which bypassed the mechanism to stimulating pineal gland through the eyes, but having red light on the body. And so with our study, we also did a case study on this. It proven to be very effective if it's on the body as well. Not people don't have to stare at the light.
Interesting, because I've seen it was on my list of questions because I've seen conflicting things on this, right? Some people saying if you put your eyes in front of the red light, it can help to optimize and improve things like eyesight. It's always made me nervous of this concept of looking directly into light like that. Yes. But there seems to be kind of almost two schools of thought here as to whether it is pro enhancing of eye health or potentially damaging.
I can clarify this for you because, you know, I like you, I was questioning this. So basically, if you have very gentle light, and there are some devices on the market like goggles, you can stimulate your with red light, you can stimulate your eyes. And that will be beneficial effect. However, you have to really be mindful how strong this light, yes? Mm-hmm. So flex beaming, far, it's really strong, really potent device. You shouldn't look at it because it's the infrared light is very strong. It's invisible for the eyes and eyes might blink. So in my recommendations, I would say if this product is designed specifically to treat eye conditions, like red goggles, go for it. But if it says we don't know or we don't recommend, please don't touch it because you can make things worse. Okay. I wanted to be on to contribute to our discussion about the circadian rhythm.
Yeah, I don't have much to add sort of scientifically. I'm an avid user of this to regulate my own circadian rhythm living in the far north. I like the effects this way. I usually remind people, I'm often asked about how to go about using this in connection with sunlight for the circadian rhythm. And for me, it's really the combination of getting into morning sunlight early, like to actually see the sun. Like that's one part of it is that you expose yourself and then to use a device like FlexBeam with very powerful red and near infrared light in the evening time to help stimulate that production. I think overall, the approach we have to sunlight, this is something in our culture that we have just learned to not really appreciate the sun, but only see it in very specific ways. And we don't think about how influential it is for our biochemistry and for our health. And, you know, red light therapy is just kind of a concentrated version of a small part of that spectrum.
So you're using red light therapy at night, and then you're going getting access to the sun itself as early as you can.
Yeah, I try to expose to sunlight early in the morning if I like insofar as I have access. But even on a cloudy day, I think that is beneficial in what the studies are showing. And it's the one thing that maybe is the most difficult when you live far north, whether it's UK or Scandinavia, is just to go outside. So we often have, you know, months on end or weeks on end in which you just really want to stay inside. I think that is potentially detrimental to health longer term, is that you're not really exposed to sunlight, generally speaking. And so something like FlexBeam can, of course, help and be a contributor to this to regulate the cycle. But there is no real replacement for the sun, and you can't not be in the sun.
Yeah, for sure. And would you, I remember, Zulia, you saying about starting with it at night and then bringing it into the morning. Would you, and I guess it's a question for you as well, Bjorn, would you use that like pre the sun coming up? Would you do a red light therapy session? I mean, like when you were describing putting it on your chest, I'd been experimenting with it in other parts of the body. Right now, all I'm thinking is I can't wait to do a morning meditation tomorrow and have it on me while I'm meditating before pre sunrise. Yeah, I was just curious, do you use it like that to almost simulate the sun coming up?
I mean, for myself, I'm usually asleep when it's dark, so I tend to wake up with the sun and then use it. But I think, Zulia, you have more insight.
Yes, the reason I said start in the evening at the time of sunset, because that it's very relaxing. However, what we found practically, people start using this, and then eventually, because you build up the effect, eventually you become energized, and like suddenly you don't want to sleep.
So happened,
shifted to the morning. And first thing in the morning, like Bjorn said, through nights, keep completely, you know, pitch black, it will help to sleep. And then in the morning, when you wake up and time for sunrise, use it as well. You can open curtains, watch sunrise, and then put FlexBeam at the same time. They're only going to complement each other.
Got you. Yeah, so my understanding when I was looking at like the circadian clock, and Andrew Huberman talks about the biological night, right? So between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m., we must observe that for optimal health and keep it pitch black. And my understanding is that from sort of 4 to 5 a.m. right through to about 10 a.m., we have the ability to influence our circadian clock positively by bringing bedtime earlier. So the earlier we go out before 10 a.m., the earlier it will drive that bedtime. But that during the period, the opposite period of that, so 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. is effectively circadian dead time. So if you go outside, you might get the benefits of serotonin release. You get the benefits of nature and fresh air, vitamin D synthesis, but you're not actually influencing or changing your circadian clock if you're out in the sunlight between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. So it sounds like then utilizing red light therapy between that time would not be a positive idea, if you like, or impact.
Yes, you wake up at the time sunrise normally, but of course in summer it will be a lot earlier. This is really good to kind of time it like with the cycle. But I'm very interested what you said for 4 a.m. or 4 p.m., you know, because in Chinese medicine, this is a time when yin changing into yang in the at night, yin all night, and then yang started from 4, 5 a.m., and then in the afternoon at the same. The yang, energetic, going to yin, more moist, dark, you know, this is all interplay taking place as well. And all our organs have clock. They have peak in yang time or peak in yin time. So this is all new science, and it's emerging science to understand our rhythm. You know, when you look in the human body, we have like hundreds of rhythms. We have rhythm of the spinal fluid oscillation, brain fluid oscillations. We have on the cellular level different rhythms. The cell goes from solo gel state. We have many rhythms, and we know very little about this, and particularly we talk little about this. So let's bring rhythm into our life.
I love that, what you shared there, because I talk a lot about, I have a program called Biosyncing, and it's all about syncing with your biology. And I love what you shared there about the yin and the yang. That's something I want to kind of dive into a bit deeper. Thank you. So we talked about circadian rhythm. What about now if we're looking at exercise and enhancing both the session itself and the long-term benefits and also the recovery? What would be the best way, would you say, to use that? So for example, I'm a big fan of, just for mental health reasons more than anything else, I like to move my body first thing before I get my kids up and organized and out and off to school. Would that be something that is best used prior to working out or post-workout to enhance recovery? How do you use it with kind of people who are into exercise or athletes?
Well, I better answer this, Bjorn, because we have done, we ask this question ourselves. When is the best time? At the very early development of the flex beam. So we found that exactly 1 hour before you start your physical activity, it's the best time. How did we do it? We did the design a little study where we used repetition exercise reps, and we counted how many one can do until complete fatigue. So we did it, push the bar, and then counted how many. Then we did flex beam, and then we counted how many you could do now. And then we repeated this 1 hour later, and we repeated this 24 hour later. So in all this three time, was always 1 hour was the best.
So 1 hour before?
1 hour before.
Okay.
What we discovered. Then we repeated the same design, but for post-training fatigue, yes? When we wanted to see when is the best time to work on DOMS. And interestingly enough, 1 hour came again. So if you use flex beam within that hour, like you finish your training, you change, blah, 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 you came home and you... That's within an hour. If you start applying flex beam to the sore muscles, you can improve DOMS and improve the fatigue, muscular fatigue. You recover faster, and then next time you perform better. What is interesting came out of this, that preconditioning, they call it in sports medicine, preconditioning, when you use it before you exercise, is actually also accumulative and very good. So it will reflect on your results. So if you do it in the right way, you actually, as an athlete, can maybe beat your personal best. You can run better. You can push better. You can pull weight better. If you use it on a regular basis, just within that 1 hour before exercise program.
And besides the studies that we have done to quantify this, we work now with countless athletes, because FlexBeam is really designed, the targeted nature of the device, and it's the means that it's particularly useful for athletes, because it has this targeted effect and it goes straight on the skin, right? So we see a lot of mix of top athletes. We have Martin Ødegaard, who's the captain of Arsenal these days. He's one of our investors and brand ambassadors, and he's spreading this to other footballers as an example of one sport. And which is, this is a common question we get from them, is should I use it before and after? And they experiment and they try. And they all have their favorites depending on what their routine is. But it seems to give results either way, whether you use it before or after. In some cases, combination. But this ability to both kind of give you more, potentially more lasting power on the pitch or in the run or something by using it prior to exercise, I think is a kind of a novelty, as we're seeing it more and more, and this is almost counterintuitive. It makes good sense to use it after for a lot of people, because you are already sore and then you use it to recover. But this, what we are discovering and the extent to which you can really boost your performance by using it beforehand, I think it's quite significant. And so that's becoming a very popular use among athletes as well.
And if you didn't have time to use it afterwards, so use it before, because say, for example, you're getting up and going to work out straight away, but then you use it an hour after exercise regularly, would that in turn, the long-term benefits improve performance in the gym, for example, the next day,
Yes, it would, because the effect of photobiomodulation is accumulative. You build up your mitochondria, you build up your reserves energy, you know, potential in the cells, and you actually make a lot more energy. So the effect will be there. One thing I wanted also to mention that if you're preparing for really big sport events, of course, you train for this and you're nervous a little bit, yes? I already mentioned that we can influence vagus nerve, which is a parasympathetic nervous system nerve. And in a simplistic way to say, to combat stress, yeah? So, of course, much, much better to start preparing yourself for the event 24 hours before. And for that time, use the device over the spine, use a device over the front, like a line, top and bottom, yes? You can use it on the abdomen. And those particular people who are going to go through endurance, they would be very good to place it above the waistline and the back because you're targeting adrenals, okay? So it will help you to condition your adrenal glands and you could do much, you know, better job with yourself. And your body is not going to be so, you know, affected by this. It's effectively stress, right? If you go for the big sporting events.
Yeah, for sure. That's interesting. So it also applies to people who are in high performing jobs, right? And who have a lot of output or a lot of stress, or parents, for example, who are kind of multiple children that they're taking care of. Give them some adrenal support by putting it there as well. Yeah, very interesting. Okay. And so what would be the long-term like benefits of it if somebody's using it every day? That is a cumulative effect, you were saying. Is there a bell curve? Did you get to the point where you're like, okay, I've been using this a month and now I need to either take a break or I've got to maximum benefits, or is it just something you can use every day?
Well, this is really, really important question and a delicate question because we're all different, okay? And we have different metabolism, we have different energetic needs, we have different state of age, gender, and everything. So overall, our recommendation is for people to use it until they stop feeling they're getting benefit from it. That means that's it. It's because light has this so-called biphasic effect, yes? So you build up results, and then one day, boom, you stop or having less results, and you can even hit negative. So in order to avoid this, our recommendation, so if you use it for 1 month, you must have a break, 1 week break, okay? In my recommendation, I tell people to use 5 days and have a 1 or 2 days off, and then again, 5 days on row. So you always kind of come into the top, and you're not flipping into negative results. But like so, life,
you have need a break. Yeah.
You need a break.
So in that situation, if you're doing 5 days on, 2 days off, then you wouldn't need to take a full week's break. You were just having those 2 weeks. Okay. When you say negative results, what would be the results there? Because I've seen it's kind of like the dose in terms of the timing and amount is like a bell curve and then they sort of peter off. But are you saying you could actually be end up doing yourself damage if you continue?
I haven't seen it with FlexBeam. I read in scientific papers that it is possible. I have not seen it with anyone who uses FlexBeam. Maybe because people listen and follow the recommendations. But the negative, it's typically when people don't, if they're in pain, they don't get pain relief. Okay. And so I think there is no other, I have not seen any other bad results with this. When you have, maybe people, and again, if you're physically active athletes, there is a one outcome. Your body can handle it because you used to so much mitochondria in the body. But then if you talk about working in a clinical situation in hospitals where people could be very sick, they take lots of medication, you know, for them, negative results will be like a detox reaction, for example. It's, as I said, it's really difficult to answer this question. But if you just apply common sense, I would say.
Because it's very individual. Okay.
Yeah. It's also linked to this question of overuse, which is about dosage as well. Because one thing is using it all the time, every day, and for a month and so on. And Also, what we've seen is quite a few users who get excited when they start seeing the results, and then they start using it three times as much in the day, or like use it for 2 hours and stuff. We've had countless of these, because the default set in the mind is often that more must then be better.
Yeah.
The general principle is the same as you would go for a training or for an exercise, that going back and doing another round at the gym three more times after you just did one is not necessarily going to make you stronger, right? So when you do it too much, the most likely effect is just so you don't get any effect, because your body adapts too quickly. We haven't seen any adverse effects, as in any side effects or anything negative, but you might end up not actually getting the benefits that you need because you're just overdoing it.
And the treatment time, I haven't timed it exactly. Is it about 7 or 8 minutes?
It's 10 minutes exactly.
10 minutes, is it? Okay. Okay. Yep. It goes quite quickly. I think it's so enjoyable. it feels nice. So would somebody best then, we talked about multiple areas, right? So if they want to use it for overall health and energy, would it be 3 to 4 treatments a day, or how could someone use it for best practice?
Yeah, exactly right. You're exactly right. 3-4 placement a day. And, you know, if depending on what you're dealing with, if it's just acute fresh injury, then you just, you know, wrap it around that part of the body, and maybe a couple of times a day, maybe just 10 minutes, because the cycle is 10 minutes. But if you deal with, like you said, something like systemic, then you may want to include the stomach, you want to include the spine. Then in average 30, 40 minutes a day, and you could again split by 2 in a day. But once a day, we recommend 3-4 positions once a day.
Okay. Does it combine well with things like foam rolling? Like if, say, for example, you've got tight hamstrings, could you place it around that area and then roll afterwards, increase the blood flow?
Totally. Because it's just a different physiological effect. When you do rolling, you do soft tissue release. But again, the cells respond much better if they're energized, if the blood flows better. Collagen, there is an impact on collagen, because photobiomodulation impact collagen, making it much better quality and quantity. So you could apply, you know, for the better looking skin as well. But when you talk about soft tissue release, the collagen is the key of the subcutaneous network. So, yeah.
Okay. We work with a lot of clinics that use FlexBeam as like end of a massage therapy session or a chiropractic session or osteopathic session to enhance the results and do so quite favorably. So it's a very good complement to a lot of physical forms of therapy.
Hmm. And I suppose in theory, from what you're saying, is when you were talking about the hand example, is that if you put it on, say, strapped around one leg, whether you're doing it all the way around or you're doing the quad or the hamstring, there are also benefits to the other leg without switching it to the other leg.
Yes, it will be. Yeah.
But I suppose if you really wanted to warm it up pre-foam rolling, you would do one and then the other.
Yeah, well, you could do, I mean, lots of, I work with physiotherapists a lot. They normally use 2 devices in the practice. They use on both, just for the effectiveness of this. But you will have their systemic effect. In fact, people who have an injury and they in a boot or in their plaster, we tell them use the other side of the body to induce that effect, healing effect.
Hmm. I used it actually on my son. He broke his hand and it helped to heal his bone. I think there are improvements as well with bone density, right, in terms of photobiomodulation.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, interesting. So I guess my last question would be then, you have the settings, the red light, the infrared, and the combination of the two. How would people determine when they want to use one or the other or a hybrid?
Very easy. Program one, always for something to do with the skin, because red light is typically absorbed within sort of 1 centimeter of the skin level. So if you have wounds, grazes, if you have even like eczema situations, you know, anything to do, even if you want to improve your collagen state, you know, you use program one. However, if you want deeper penetration, you need near infrared lights. And the infrared light is in settings number 2 and 3. And number 2 has both red and infrared. So that means it's probably 50% less energy penetration. So if you want something really deep, you need to go for program 3.
Oh, okay.
Knee joints, hip joints, sciatica, you know, any muscles deep inside. If you're targeting deep inside, you need 3. But otherwise, use 2. Like Achilles tendon, I would use number 2 because Achilles tendon, very superficial. Okay, and you have red and infrared to work on it.
And one last question, actually. How would this, I think we talked about this a little bit offline. How would this be different than an infrared sauna? So I have one, but it is full spectrum sauna. It like does mid, near, and far. And I realize this doesn't have the far. But what's occurring to me is when I'm in it, the wavelengths are actually further away anyway. This is much more. Can you explain the difference? Could you take it into the sauna, for example?
I mean, you could, but this is honestly, this is one of the reasons we founded this company, co-founded Recharge Health 5 years ago, is because we saw already then there was an interest in the biohacking niche then, and there were lots of panels and these kinds of applications on the market. But when we realized how powerful this modality is, we wanted to design and create something that goes straight on the skin, because that's how you get the most effect. I mean, most people don't think about this, but if you are standing in front of a panel, for example, when you are 10 centimeters away from that panel, you lost something like 80-90% of the output power, right? It doesn't just being in an illuminated room with red and infrared light, it can have a positive impact on your physiology. But if you want to treat something and you want like to really go into muscle tissue and so on, you want that penetrating effect. And that you can only get if you have very powerful near-infrared lights. So then almost all the devices out there that are just very sort of cheap and have simple LEDs, they will never cut it. They will never give you those kinds of results because they're not able to penetrate enough. And that's how we designed our device. We've even built in fans to cool it down and stuff because it's quite a powerful light. And because it's designed in a way that you can curve it around any part of your body, means that you're not wasting any light. You're getting straight in there. And I think that's very important for people to be aware of when you're trying to navigate the jungle of all the red light therapy devices out there that make a lot of the similar kinds of claims, is that something for cosmetic purposes has, like, it's a completely different kind of use case, for example, like red light surface areas, and that some panels and saunas, these kinds of things, are ambient radiation will have a very, very different effect than the kind of targeted treatment that we designed FlexBeam to do. And I mean, that's why we wanted to make a mark. We believe this technology is something that should be available to everyone and that hasn't been properly made yet. It hasn't been made accessible and easy to use and powerful enough and efficient enough. So that's what we set out to do. And that's, you know, why we think that the effects of this are quite different than you get just from any kind of red light therapy out there.
Interesting. So would this remove the need for panels then, just by using it on the sort of four areas?
I think panels have own goodness about them because, you know, you can, you know, create lots of photonic radiation in the room for systemic general effect. I really do like panels. I personally think people should have both panels, but FlexBeam should go as a tool to manage when you have specific condition. And when you want to put it over the center of the body, again, this is on the body. Like Bjorn just said, it really sends the energy in the body. So you can, even spine specifically, you target it and you're going to get a very profound physiological effect.
I mean, what is the best red light therapy device? Is the one that you use the most, right? And so this was one of the design principles for us with FlexBeam, is that it has to be so easy to use and so portable that you can bring it anywhere. So you don't rely on having to be in your garage and take all your clothes off and so on to stand in front of the panel to have that session. That requires a discipline that not everybody has. Some of the people who love FlexBeam, they use it because they can, you know, they can use it in the car or while cooking dinner for the kids or anything. You can multitask with it as well. And we think that that's the future of this kind of technology. It's going to come into people's homes. It has to be super easy to use and to apply anywhere.
That's definitely the thing that I noticed the most, you know, being a busy mom of three running multiple businesses, it just made it easy for me to use, which is, and as you say, you're going to use it more often. We did talk a little bit offline around the fact that if you want to use it around the face, it's good and it can help with that collagen. But in this situation, the advice is not to wrap it around your head. Is that right? Can you just explain to people?
That's exactly correct, because we already mentioned that it's really powerful tool. So their distance, like 20 centimeters, or I call it reading book distance, yes, will give you that more general stimulation of the whole face. But you'll find they provided goggles in their box, so need to wear goggles because light is really, really powerful. And infrared lights you won't see, but it will affect the back of the eyes. It will increase blood flow in the back of the eyes. So that's why we want to protect the eyes. We don't want to influence. But collagen, please do. You know, collagen on the body you can use for the sagging skin. Yeah. So yeah. Could be.
And would used. That be setting two, where you've got the near infrared and the red together?
For the face, you could do either one or two. But one is I prefer because it targets particular surface of the skin where the collagen is at most.
Oh, okay. So you'd get a stronger dose of the red if you turn the two. You turn it off, so you've just got the one. Yeah.
Sometimes I would do two as well, just to give different stimulation.
Different stimulations. Amazing. Super
and you've
interesting.
You've been trying it for a bit now, Angela, yourself. Yeah. Like, how has that been for you?
I've really, really enjoyed it. And I can notice, improvements in energy. I've used it a lot around kind of the abdomen area, and particularly with back, because I had, and also around my neck, which I feel improvements here, because my I had some prolapse discs a few years ago. And that's always been like a real tension point. And I feel like it's really helped there. I think the thing for me is I'm excited now to really focus on it from a vagus nerve stimulation perspective, like you've been talking about, and relaxation. But I think the thing that I found is it's just so easy to integrate. And I think that historically has been the problem for me. You know, you can go into a sauna, you can sit there, you can read a book, you can do something else, but standing in front of a panel, it's quite difficult to discipline yourself to do that because you can think of many other things you could be doing. And you're not relaxing, right? You could sort of sit, it's uncomfortable. It's not that easy to meditate. Whereas this has that dual aspect of you could lie there with it on, you can meditate, you could do some breath work, you can do it pre, post exercise. You're saying it's very easy and it's portable. And also you can do it, I found, while I'm doing other things, which is amazing. I'm a big fan of like stacking the hacks.
Okay, that's great to hear. I mean, we know panels that, as Dr. Zulia said, there is a good use case for, and some of them have very good wavelengths and the technology itself is good. But it's important to understand they were designed for plants. This is literally taking like a grow-up technology that worked for plants, just changing the LEDs. And what we set out to do, and which we believe is the future of this, to actually bring red light therapy to a lot of people, is to design it for humans, like that it sticks to your body, bends around it, and so on. So that's why it's the first of its kind, of this kind of device that sort of, you know, it's more intuitive to use and that it's designed for you to wear in every day.
Yeah, very interesting. I did not know they were designed for plants.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I didn't. What's your take on, I think there's one, and it really doesn't seem that strong in terms of its research around green tea extract in combination with it. Is that something you advocate? I know some people are using like serums of green tea with the red light. Your thoughts on that?
Myself, I've never tried it. I don't know. Dr. Zulia, have you come across this?
No, I haven't tried it. I can see the logic in that. I can see, understand because of the absorption for the red light will be exactly in that spectrum. I haven't tried it. No.
You haven't tried it? And what about, are there any concerns around EMF on it at all?
Well, this was one of the key design principles by our inventor and co-founder, Arjen Helder, who's a Dutch electronics engineer who sort of designed this and understood the principles of it being close to the body and so on. The concern about EMF is a real concern if you have anything plugged into the wall, like a wall panel. Like there is considerable EMF around such a contraption, and it's measurable, and it's one of the reasons why you don't actually want to stick your skin close to a panel, so you get a lot of that extra radiation. So by virtue of FlexBeam being a battery driven device, it already reduces this a lot because a lot of EMF come from plugged in devices. But we also encased every light pod so that we have lab tests to show this, that it's minimal EMF radiation. We compare it to a cell phone or another wall panel or any of these kinds of things, and it's huge difference. So it's something we kept in mind. We see that it's more awareness around this now, thankfully. I think people like you are helping to spread awareness around these kinds of issues, but it's not that most consumers are not aware of EMFs to begin with. But for us, it was an important part of how we designed it.
That's really good to hear. Really good to hear. Amazing. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us about this. I feel like I've had a refresh and definitely, yeah, an education on it all today. Thank you so much. Where can people find out more about you, about the product, and keep up with everything you're doing?
They can go to recharge.health. That's the name of our company, Recharge Health. Straightno.com or anything, recharge.health, and you'll find everything about FlexBeam. Dr. Zulia has now, we have offered a membership program where it's possible to get even consultations and webinars, protocols, all kinds of things also for people who buy FlexBeam now. You can read more on there. So thank you for having us on, Angela.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's a pleasure working with you. You're so knowledgeable, and I think your listeners really would appreciate this information.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate you both coming on and sharing this time together. And we will link to that in the show notes. I know that's a really amazing thing you've opened up there in terms of a membership to support people using it. You know, I love what you're doing. I love that you've, you know, ticked every box, even like EMF, that a lot of people aren't thinking about. It's just amazing. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
I hope today's episode inspired you on your journey to vibrant health and high performance. Make sure you check out the show notes for a summary of all the important links to everything we talked about. And if you enjoyed this episode, hit the follow button and share it with a friend on social media or leave a review over on Apple Podcasts. Remember, achieving high performance health is about getting 1% better each day. So think about one thing you learned from today's episode and start implementing it today. Share with me what you've learned on social media over at Angela S. Foster. I love hearing from you and connecting with you. Have a beautiful day, and always remember, you are worthy of your dreams.